What is the fundamental role of the Bible in the Christian faith? That's my question, because I've seen over the years people use the Bible for different purposes, and some of them seem to be better uses of the Bible than others. And
okay.
I'm just curious if there are, if there is a particular purpose for the Bible that we are, a way in which we are supposed to use it, and other ways in which we are not supposed to use it. Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hey, everybody. Scott Johnson here with Rheology. And of course, this is the Rheology Podcast. And that guy over there, that's Brandon.
Hey, what's up?
And Brandon is... joining me today, we're a little bit late in the day, so this is typically God, coffee, and questions, but I don't have any coffee.
Nor do I.
It's a little too late in the day. I have sweet tea, and it's in one of my favorite Tervis tumblers, cups. It's the Marauder's Map.
Nice.
Pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
pretty
I got
cool.
some sweet tea.
I've got some
you drinking
beer.
Anything over there? Oh, what kind?
A&W, my favorite.
All right. Okay. A&W. Okay, this is a little podcast series that Brandon and I do, where we're talking about questions that most people probably do have when they are going through their whole stirring section of their life. Other people call it different things. I actually just put out a video today on faith deconstruction, which is what most people call it. So these are, you know, just covering some of the questions that most people might have. And we try to talk about them, answer some of them if we can, or at least steer people in the right direction. Let's put it that way. So today, Brandon, what do we got here, and what's on your mind?
Question today is about the Bible.
Okay.
Kind of all of them are about the Bible, I suppose, in some sense. But this one is about the Bible specifically. And what is the fundamental role of the Bible in the Christian faith? That's my question. Because I've seen over the years people use the Bible for different purposes. And some of them seem to be better uses of the Bible than others. And
okay.
I'm just curious if there are, if there is a particular purpose for the Bible that we are, a way in which we are supposed to use it, and other ways in which we are not supposed to use it. That's the question.
So let's start off by giving me examples of like ways that you've seen people use it. That's particularly struck you weird or whatever.
Like an encyclopedia. So like a, like they've got this concept in their mind of how the world is supposed to work in one form or fashion. And they find verses to support their position on that particular issue. And so they have consulted the Bible in like an encyclopedia format. They've gone and looked up what they think is the answer to their question. And then they cite that to you as the answer to their question. Problem with that I see is that, you know, for that one verse that they cite, there's probably six others that negate that their reading of that particular issue. And so it seems like the wrong approach, but you know, maybe it is useful to some extent for that type of purpose.
Okay, cool. I have come across that a lot in my life, and especially in you know, in the role of doing ministry full time vocationally. And I think a lot of people, Christians, I don't know what it is about Christianity sometimes. It's just funny. And I kind of mentioned this in the video that was released today, is that we don't typically like to question why we do what we do. But the questioning typically lives mostly in the form of arguments, right? Debates. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that is like okay to do. And then, you know, internally questioning, or maybe, you know, even as a group questioning certain aspects of Christianity, that's not okay. So like I have definitely had several conversations with people who do exactly what you say. And they talk, what they do is they take a, they take an idea, and maybe it's a form of Christianity, or whether it lives in folklore, or whether it's been something that's just recently been introduced, or whatever. And you know, we do this podcast because of that, right? Because of people having misconceptions. And so, but yes, they take the Bible and they take bits and pieces as what we call out of context, out of the actual context of what's going on. So there's a couple verses that I looked at. The first one's in 2 Timothy. This is 3:16-17. And I don't want to take these out of context, because there is a context, and I'll talk about that as well. But yes, like for instance, you know, one of the most famous ones is like God's word is like a double-edged sword and those kind of things. So there's a, we have to be careful, because when we look at scripture and we see the word there, most of the time the word in the New Testament is the exact same word that you and I talked about a couple of episodes ago about, like John writing his gospel, and the very first thing he starts with was, in the beginning was the word.
Logos, and is that it?
Yeah. And that's what we said was logos, and the concept that in that situation was the full, you know, God, you know, basically like speaking something into existence is kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. And so when you see the word, English word, in the New Testament, you look at it and you go, okay, that's God's word. You know, the Bible, mm-hmm. the B-I-B-L-E, that's God's word. Yeah. And no, it's not. It's actually talking about the things that God produces out of his mouth, right? The things he speaks into being, those things that anything that he says as a God, he is speaking into being truth, right? He's speaking into being, as we talked about that day, identity.
Yeah.
Or purpose or meaning. So everything that comes out of his mouth is there. It's creation in a weird kind of way. So God is speaking those things, and he has spoke those things. Now, we do have the word in the B-I-B-L-E, the scripture. And so there are scriptures that do talk about scripture.
Yeah.
And I think these two that we're going to look at are like very simple basics, like fundamentals about the written version of God's words. God has probably spoke way more things than were actually written down. And actually, I think it was John's gospel. I may get confused within the gospels, but anyway, at the end of it, it's like if they're, you know, we didn't write everything down about what Jesus said and what Jesus did. If we did, we're probably not enough books to contain them. And so, you know, it's not like Jesus, for instance, it's not that Jesus just preached the Sermon on the Mount one time.
Right.
There's no way. The disciples probably heard that maybe the first time that day, maybe they heard bits and pieces of it, but maybe collectively all together, that one sermon was the first time they ever heard it. But it definitely probably was not the last. Jesus was teaching these things over and over and over and over and over, you know, for a long time. So God has spoken lots of stuff. We probably don't have everything written down. But in just a very generic foundational view of the actual written scripture in written form.
Right. So 2 Timothy 3:16 here, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Okay. So like right off the bat, the word inspired is actually a lot of times defined as God breathed. So once again, like there's the kind of connection with the logos, right? It's this idea that God has like spoken things. He's breathed them. He's created, you know, truth just by opening his mouth. And right here, it really pretty much helps us understand that, you know, all the scripture is really the handwritten stuff, the stuff that's been written down. Its main purpose is for us to, you know, kind of use it to kind of get a very quick, like, measuring stick on like how we're doing here. You know, it kind of brings us back to center a lot of times.
And obviously Paul here is talking about the Hebrew scriptures because he's writing 2 Timothy, obviously. So he's talking about primarily the Old Testament, but presumably this would extend also to what we know as the Bible today as Protestants.
Yeah, it's probably not everything. I mean, he may be, you know, including in his mind, you know, one of the early gospels, right? Mark, you know, he could be including Mark. He could be including Luke's account of it as well, just depending on the time frame here, because he and Luke were buddies and spent time together. I'm not sure exactly. We don't know exactly when all this was written, but everybody pretty much knows that, like, Mark was probably one of the first gospels written down, letters written, whatever. So people would have spread this out, and you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to include these early writings as well. I'm not sure Paul is including his own letters to Timothy like this one, even though we see it as God breathed and it's used, and this would fall underneath that same category, right, of useful for teaching and correcting us and, you know, course correction, bringing us back to center, you know. So there's that. And then we've got, once again, Paul talking in Romans 15:14. Okay, sorry about that. So I had 15:14, and it's actually 15:4. Let's try it again, Brandon, 15:4.
15:4, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled.
Cool. So, I mean, in this one specifically, Paul's got the idea of trying to help people understand that Jesus is the promised Messiah, right? He is the anointed one. He's the chosen one. And so, you know, there is a link back here for Jews to go, this is what the scripture really was about. It's leading up to a promised one. But in the meantime, you know, it's meant to, again, kind of keep us like right in the middle and keep us centered on what this is about. And so, but the interesting thing in context for both of these, if we read like earlier up in the chapter 15 or with the Timothy letter in 2 Timothy, if we read up into that, once again, and this one kind of says this as well, it's like an encouragement. This one, new NLT says, you know, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, we might have the encouragement that we provide and might have hope. And so both of these are about endurance. Like that would be the context. The context is endurance. And that's kind of like relative to us today with the scriptures, is that endurance just means day to day, right? From today till tomorrow, until the next day and the next day and the next day, and staying in the lane, you know, having endurance to continue to follow what God wants for me and you today. And so that ultimately is, you know, really what the written scripture's main purpose is that. Mm-hmm. So the dispelling of other stuff would be important to recognize, because I don't know about you, but I can recall both as a kid going to church with my mom, mm-hmm. you know, just sporadically here and there. And then as a youth minister working in a church, I can remember people like, if you had your Bible with you and you threw it down on the ground to go do something, like people like, you know, yeah. and almost have a heart attack because you right. threw God's word. It's almost like you took Jesus and threw him mm-hmm. down on the ground. And I remember one time in ministry, there was a kid standing on his Bible. And one of, I don't remember if it was an adult. It was an adult. I don't remember if it was a parent or yeah. youth sponsored thing or whatnot. But they're like, hey, don't do that. That's disrespectful. Don't stand mm-hmm. on. And, you know, he said something smart like, you know, well, I'm standing on the promises of God or something like that, yeah. which is great.
Of course.
But it's just that mentality that, like, this book
yeah.
in and of itself is, like, glowing with God's presence.
Right. It was literally delivered from God himself.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is like N.T. Wright talks about this a lot, which I think you and I have talked about this too, about the whole like the idea of guideposts,
yeah.
which, you know, it's a British concept. Ours would be signs, right? You mm-hmm. know, as we've said before, like you see a sign that says Atlanta 100 miles, you know, okay, cool. And then you see another sign that says Atlanta 50 miles. I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah.
If this sign says, you know, 100 miles, and then I go a little bit further and it says 150 miles, I need to turn around. So he talks about guideposts, and really ultimately the written scriptures are really that as well. They're yeah. not to be worshiped. They're to be revered because and respected because they point to yeah. who's supposed to be worshiped.
Yeah.
And so yeah. we take that away.
Yeah, and I think I heard something similar. In fact, I always go back to the Bible Project. I think that's their kind of their mantra, which is that they are telling or showing the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. And then I think Tim Mackey gave an example talking about the same topic, and I heard this fairly recently. I thought it was pretty good. He said, you know, a lot of folks have a good intuition about the Bible, but a poor execution. And he gave an analogy to like his young kid picking up a hammer for the first time and using the claw side of the hammer to like dig a hole in the ground. And he said, well, that's a good intuition that this is a tool that's useful for right. doing something,
yeah.
but it's a poor yeah. execution of using it in a way that it wasn't intended to be used. And yeah. he went on to say, we do the same thing with the Bible. We have a good intuition that it has good things to say about how we are to live our lives. But he went on to say, it's really not intended for that. The authors of the Bible never intended for their work to be used in that way. Its intent has always been intended as a story, a unified story that is ultimately just points to Jesus. So
yes yeah. and to think about it this way, like when I was in youth group back when I was a teenager, our youth minister, and this is not a bad thing, it's a great thing, but our youth minister is really big on like memorizing the books of the Bible mm-hmm. and how many are in there and all that kind of stuff. So I yeah. knew all that kind of stuff, and he had this like this club, two different clubs, like if you could recite the books of the Old Testament within a certain amount of time,
yeah,
like
yeah.
you got in this club and whatever.
Bible Bowl and all of those things.
Yes, yeah. yes, all that stuff. And I geeked out about most of that stuff. I loved that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the reality is like we have the Bible is organized for a very specific reason. Our the actual Bible and the sections in the Bible are all really organized with a very specific mindset. And pretty much the Council of Nicaea had people come together, bishops all coming together, and basically saying, okay, we need to all get on the same page mm-hmm. here, and we're going to figure out, like, you know, what letters belong, what don't, and kind of put them in an order that's maybe easier for people to kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. cool. you know, Jesus comes in the New Testament, Jesus comes first, and then, mm-hmm. you know, chronologically it kind of goes in order, and then Old Testament kind of the same too, even though yeah. the Old Testament's order is very different from a Jewish Bible. Actually, mm-hmm. the Jewish Bible has three different sections, and sometimes the prophets are separated and minor prophets mm-hmm. are all together, and major mm-hmm. prophets are all put into different categories. So theirs is broken down differently as well. So to say that, like, okay, the structure of the actual Bible, it, mm-hmm. you know, that we have is God breathed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Maybe it just as simple as, like, a couple of smart guys said, hey, listen, people keep getting things completely wrong. So yeah. we're going to agree in this, you know, in the next couple of months, we're going to agree on how we can put this together where it's easier and makes more sense for people.
Yeah.
So when you think of it that way, yes, it is much more of just a tool that absolutely should be used. And I don't think either one of us are not saying that the words in here are not breathed by God or inspired by God. It's just that God's, again, like you said, God has not, like, put this together, help us put this together so that now we can worship it.
Right.
Like the Holy Grail or something like that, you know, that, or the shroud, mm-hmm. the shroud of Jesus or blah, 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 all this stuff. You know, it's another thing that we can put in our religious collection right. box, you know, and kind of revere as almost like in a worshipful kind of manner, instead of actually understanding the greater narrative, as we talk about all the time, of the whole thing. Yeah. Which is like what you were saying with Tim Mackey. It's like it is one complete story.
Yeah, it's easy to miss the forest for the trees when you focus in on using it in the way that I talked about early on, which is focusing mm-hmm. in so almost like a microscope on particular verses in a way yeah. to try and support whatever cause you're trying to push. And maybe that's completely right. Maybe that's what the scriptures say about what you're talking about, but it seems like that's missing the forest for the trees if you're just doing that, if you're using the Bible in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, we, you know, Chris and Tyler and I talked about this several months ago about the acronym BIBLE, right? And then there was a Christian rap group called SFC, Soldiers for Christ, SFC. And I loved this group. And so the main dude of the group who started the group, his name is Chris Cooper, and he came up with that acronym. Most people would, like, roll over to know that, like, a rap group came up with it, because this sounds really, really cheesy and very churchy. But, you know, the BIBLE acronym-wise is supposed to stand for the Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, mm-hmm. Which theologically is, you know, not completely true, but and it's not, but it shouldn't be seen, the Bible definitely should not be seen as like an instruction manual, like this is how you're supposed to do every right. little thing, because once again, it's, you know, as we've talked about before, I can't really emphasize enough the word holy and what mm-hmm. holy actually means. Holy means different or unique, and when we say holy God, we say that God is different, he's yeah. unique. He's not like the other gods. So we're not, so like the BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, would actually fit better for any other god.
Yeah.
Because it is a to-do list, almost right. like a checklist of things that you're supposed to do in order to keep God happy.
Yeah.
And the narrative of the whole Bible, it all boils down to reconciliation and rescue, you know,
yeah,
and
right.
restoring what? A relationship.
Yeah.
And we call it the partnership. So
yeah, a narrative that helps us understand the human condition, how we got into this mess, what God did to get us out of this mess, and what we should do as a result of getting that gift from him. That's, I think, kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it would be almost like, you and your wife, Alyssa, right? You go out and you buy a book. Okay, this book's going to make our marriage awesome.
Right.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
The book may give you, like, some help on some things that you can change about yourself. Yeah. Because ultimately your marriage with your wife is a relationship, and it's something that is organic and it's alive. It's an organism. It grows. It, you know, it's not just a putting together, you know, a TV or putting together, you know, an office desk, you know, kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. Once it's together, there it is. Yeah. So the Bible really is more along the lines of that, right? It definitely educates us. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And it definitely teaches us. But ultimately, it clearly gives us
instructions. I mean, it definitely instructs.
It definitely instructs and can give us instruction. But in our day and age, we got to be careful with the whole instruction word, because we do think of an instruction manual. You just pick up.
Right.
Everybody, I don't care what you buy, it's going to come with an instruction manual and with five steps.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you bought something from IKEA, which would be like 55 steps. But, you know.
Yeah, because I think the risk you run, if you look at it like that, is you're expecting to see a specific answer for every single one of your questions in that book. And
yeah,
I don't think you're going to find it. I think the better way to approach it is you read the book over and over, like meditation literature, like it's supposed to be. And you, through that, you gain wisdom through the situations that are described in the book. And then you know through your wisdom that you've gained through that how to approach situations that aren't addressed specifically in the book.
Right. Yes. Because it's not a cookie cutter deal. You and I are different people. Our relationship with God is different. My relationship with God will look different from yours. There will still be the same parameters involved in it, mm-hmm. for sure. But, it's very dangerous, in my opinion, like you were saying, to like look at it that way, because what if our mentality is like, okay, well, I'm supposed to do this, this, and this, and in the end, I'm supposed to look like this. And what if I don't look like that? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a problem, because we're not really experiencing a relationship where we're looking at, you know, an instruction manual, and we're seeing the end goal of what you're supposed to be or look like. Yeah. And the focus really shouldn't be on those things. It should be on the partnership that God is inviting you to, and his word, you know, the Bible definitely can help us, you know, contrast all of those things, and bring a lot of things out into the light.
From the whole Rheology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Rheology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, rheologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram at @rheology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.